I assumed everybody got a handout. We're not going to talk about the handout yet.
Thank you for that.
Well, we're not going to talk about it yet, but let me talk about what this is. I started a new series called Essentials, and you got Essential number one. I've written several others. Now, in the last few weeks, I've tried to give you an overall picture of what we've been talking about with Forever Living. What I was trying to do in that overall picture is take you from the beginning and create a picture of what we've been saying for several years. Nobody got it. There is not a person out there, I can guarantee you, that can give me that picture back again, maybe in little pieces, but cannot really portray that picture back again. So, says I, well, Mr. Smartass, since you've always said that a thing is only true if it is true forwards and backwards, I thought essential number one is I would begin from an all-inclusive universal being and work backwards. Well, we'll get there. So, Karen, can you possibly understand that just maybe a dream is an abiding story without beginning and end that you make into separate dreams by focusing in at night and focusing out in the morning? Does that make sense to you?
Oh, yeah, it totally makes sense to me.
All right. Then that's kind of like a TV show in this regard, that if you were watching a TV show and then you constantly turned it off and turned it on, turned it off and waited and waited and waited and waited for three or four commercials and turned it back on again, that story, whatever that story might be, would be sort of disassociated, because when you left them, they were in Los Angeles and now they're in Detroit. And who's this other person here that's arrived in this? So, is it possible then that your dreams are just one continuous abiding story that you tune into and tune out of? Then you said yes. Okay. From that, then I'm going to ask you this question. Is it possible that your life is one abiding story that you tune into and tune out of?
Yeah. But I thought I was here all the time.
That's what abiding means.
Yeah. Yeah, but so what's the tuning in and tuning out part?
You could say birth and death. Or okay. You focus on one part and not on something else.
Now, when you say your life, are you talking me, life in this body, or...
You, life in that body today.
Okay.
Is it possible for me to say, okay, you as a universal being are so everything, like an abiding story, that you are in fact nothing except that you tune in and tune out to create starts and stops in order to make an image or a particular image out of an abiding story?
You mean I won't be able to make an image if I just let it keep running?
Yeah, let me go off to another example for a minute, and because it gets a little Well, let me back up again. When we talk about yourself, I want to talk about not an abiding story. Because in your dream, you see the story going on. And when we talk about yourself and your life, is it possible then that there is an abiding jest? That's one word, abiding jeste. Now, I use the word jest because a jest is something that is notable. The jest is a notable deed or action or story or achievement. But I don't want to use story, and I don't really want to use pattern, because you have your already images around story and pattern. So if I say your life is about a notable jest that you tune into and tune out of, like birth and death, or you tune into an awareness of yourself and life, or tune out of that in that regard. When I say use jest, G-E-S-T-E, as notable, I mean not that notable is a superlative. I mean notable is something that is worthy of being aware of. So, is there, do you suppose, an ongoing story that it is worthy for you to be aware of? But if it's all continuous, you can't be aware of that, so that you create starts and stops so that you are able to be aware of that.
Starting to get.
Well, let me carry this example just a little bit further.
Okay.
Could you understand that DNA is a jest?
Okay.
In other words, DNA portrays all the ancestors of your body, and that portrayal in that then is a notable story of all those ancestors.
Right.
Of their deeds and actions and achievements. And we can say that the jest portrayed by DNA is abiding. You can find no beginning nor ending.
Right, yeah, yep.
But could you say then that your DNA is not really anything until your genes are sequenced? It's like my handing you a pile of genes, separate data, and until you start sequencing those, let's assume there are what, 86,000 human genes, and each one of us has gotten about, let's say, 22,000 genes. They don't mean squat. It's like a handful of sand. Until you sequence those genes, and then you're not living the genes, you're living the sequence. That's the action. That's the achievement. I know it's a little vaguely there, but can you
can go, I'm not sure I understand the word achievement in that context.
Achievements only mean something you're doing. It's an action of the universe. Doesn't mean good, great, better, or otherwise. It just means an achievement is if I go out and kick sand in a skinny little guy's face on the beach, that's an achievement. That's just something I've done.
So I didn't think that was carried in your DNA. I thought that was something you did with what you built out of your DNA.
But then if the DNA is a memory of each and every person, it is a memory of as well what I did or didn't do.
So are you saying in your, so that's an unconventional picture of DNA, isn't it?
I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think it's really unconventional. I've just carried it to expand it. If you say DNA is just a list of your ancestors, and we would say, okay, that's what it is. All I'm saying is that there is a way to access that list of ancestors and gain more information out of DNA. All they're looking at is the pattern of the DNA, but they're not cannot be aware of within a particular pattern what is being sequenced. In other words, what DNA ACTG is active and what is not active. Because once you take 22,000, something like that, then you have a billion of combinations of things.
Right.
Is this okay? I'm just carrying it further. They've just limited so far as an identification. So, okay, my parents made a body, and if you look at my body's DNA, the pattern says, well, I came from those two guys. But what I'm living is not I came from those two guys. I'm living the sequential pattern of those 22,000 genes in this sequence, which is entirely different than my mother and father.
Yes, I get that.
So I've turned them on or turned them off or don't apply them.
Rearrange them or...
Okay. Yeah. Hell, they can make synthetic genes nowadays and splice them in. And that's what I've said as provenance all along, is that you don't have to live a self. You can say, this is myself. And splice that in into your provenance, and then that activates the sequence of your gene. So you can take a whole new gene that is a synthetic gene and add that to your genetic makeup, and that changes the whole sequence of everything.
Yes.
I mean, you don't have to believe it. I'm just saying, are you willing to accept that's possible?
Yes, I am willing to accept that
possibility. Then maybe, just with that discussion, we might say then that just maybe in the same ilk. Now, this is going to get squinchy. Maybe in the same ilk that there is an abiding jest that you are living in your life today. And the only thing you are doing is you are turning it on or turning it off here or there, so that you create a particular out of that, let's call it universal or abiding jest. Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right. Now, anybody who doesn't agree with me or doesn't agree with Karen is certainly willing to... all right to interrupt. We try to pause so that you can get right in there. Okay. Let's go back then to a dream. If there was a comparison between a dream, and that's a story you can really see like TV, and an abiding jest of your life, which is a story that at the present time you can sense but can't really see, well, then maybe if we use the equivalence of what goes on in the dream, we can understand its equivalences to what goes on as an abiding jest in your life. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay. So we go back to dreams for a moment here and say, okay, there is this ongoing abiding story, which in a sense is really nothing until you create the sequence of the story. Can you understand that?
Yeah, okay.
Did somebody try to interrupt there? Guess not. Okay. Well, if that's true, then maybe we should take another look at... Before we go there yet. Is it possible for you to say, then, in your dream, as an abiding story, that no matter where you interrupt that story, it'll always give you the same information?
Huh. It always gives me, I didn't think that up until now, but...
You have to look at it. You got to think about this not as an ongoing story, but an abiding story that only appears when you interrupt it. It's there, but it's not there. It's there, but it's something, but it's not anything until you interrupt it. And when you interrupt it, then you create the particularization of that story. Which means, like in a dream, you do the same thing, and from day to day or night to night, no matter where you interrupt that story, it'll always be the same.
Then why wouldn't I have the same dream every night?
You have you remember when we talked about what's the word I want? Can't think about it. When you're doing something different or differently?
Yeah.
Maybe the dream is exactly the same, but it's only differently.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
And differently means you're really, really, really doing the same damn thing, but we're going to give you a different version of the same thing, so it's a differently story.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. Yep.
Now, if we can see this, and I want to demonstrate it in a minute. If we could see this in the dream, is it possible you could say, well, gee, hey, wait a minute, Roger, do you mean to tell me that in my life as I interrupt my abiding jest, that it's differently? It's the same damn thing differently?
Mm-hmm.
Are we okay with that?
Yeah.
I mean, I see, in order to get this across, I have to go from one thing to the other thing and then go back again and start all over again and do it over again.
Are you saying that the abiding story is saying the same? It's describing.
It's really describing. Not. This is the point. And get your mind out of the story, because the minute you use a story, you think that it is an ongoing different scenario.
Well, that's what I was trying to get around to. Is that it's not. It's describing me. Let's say.
That's why I call it a jest.
Yeah.
It's notable.
That we look at, is describing me in a different way.
Okay.
But they're all describing.
It's describing you in a different way, your life in a different way, your doings in a different way, but it's all, in a sense, saying the same thing over and over and over and over again. But it's really not the same because it's saying it differently every time.
Right.
Is that okay?
That's okay, yeah, I get that.
And in this case, if this is your story of your dreams, then you're interrupting it, and by starting and stopping the dream, then you're creating the same specific over and over again from a different perspective for you to understand.
Yes.
Is it possible then that we can jump to the conclusion that that different view of yourself over and over again from a differently view of yourself is a particular universal you?
Yeah. Can you just say that one more time? So I can get it in there.
That, like the dream which you interrupt and create in that regard, so that you're viewing yourself differently from a different perspective each night, that the whole of your life is living over and over again the same thing differently.
Yes. Yep.
Let me put it this way. If you were always living the same thing differently, is it possible that it would appear different and other to you?
Different and other to me?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is quite possible.
And that you so you could do differently to the ends of time, and it would seem to you to be only different.
Yeah, but it's not really. It's got to be the same because it's me.
Aha! Now you're beginning to understand. So it's got to be the same because it's you as a universal being, but it's differently because it's you as a personal universal being.
Yeah, okay.
So that you could live eternally the same you, and it would all seem different.
It would all seem different. Yes, okay, yep.
Roger, I have a question. So is it the personal self that does the turning on and off?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, if there's any kind of truth in this in terms of a dream, could we then say, well, if that's true in the dream and a dream story, it's a very good likelihood that that's true in an abiding gesture of my life. Is it okay?
Yeah.
All right, now I'm going to give you an aside here, and I may ask you a question, I may not, and it may not matter at all anyway, and I may forget what the question was. Okay. Is it possible then that your actions do not matter at all in your life?
Why so?
If the action or the story is the same, the only thing that matters is the self or the characters.
that's almost starting to like fate.
You what?
Almost starting to sound like fate.
I know. No. That's what I'm trying to get you out of.
Mm-hmm.
Would you consider living the self, the same self, eternally and universally?
Yes.
So, if I said to you then, it's not a matter of what you do, it's that if you were to make all choices as choices that you would be and do and live eternally and have done to you, then in that, aren't we talking about the same damn thing?
Hmm.
See, you think then that the choices or the actions are different. No. In doing only those things that you would do and be and live eternally, they're all the same thing. It's only the you doing it that is different.
But is the me doing it different?
Yeah, could you be different in the scenario that we're talking about here? Could you be different, the actions be the same simply because they're just the same actions from a different perspective? But what if the you is different, not the actions?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah, like you singing and me singing is two very different things.
If that's the case, then you only need to select the you, not the right actions.
Right, yeah.
And so when I said 2 weeks ago, is it possible then that in living self-evidently so, you don't have free will? Do you understand that? You change the you, then you live self-evidently that you, but the actions don't matter.
Right. Okay.
Do you see how subtle this is getting? And yet, when you really get it and understand it, well, wait just a minute now. If I'm saying that the actions don't matter, have I not always said, you never judge an action, you only judge the consequences or the presumed consequences. The actions don't matter.
Yeah.
So if I hold a gun to your head, that doesn't matter. You judge that I may scare you or I might shoot you, or that I'm a turkey for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't judge the action of my doing that.
Right, yeah.
Okay. If this is possible, then what I'm trying to sit across, that in a dream, is it possible then that where you interrupt the dream, that's important? And where you end the dream, that's really important.
Mm.
But everything in between doesn't matter.
Hmm.
All the actions in between do, as in your life, is give you too much information to deal with.
Hmm.
Is this okay?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not asking you whether you understand. I mean, just go along with this, and I'm only asking you if this is okay with you. Then, is it possible that in a dream, where you start the dream and interrupt the ongoing or the abiding, where you interrupt the abiding and where you opt out of the abiding, like wake up, well, I woke up, that was the end of the dream. Those are only two important things. And everything that happened in between doesn't matter.
Yeah. So does this mean this is in place of the way we used to do dreams, line by line?
No. I'll get to why we do dreams in different ways. I'm saying now, could you understand dreams? Could you understand this? Because we're now looking at dreams of an abiding story. We've got a different view of dreams in this regard. A broader, more expansive view of dreams. Are you now willing to look at dreams in this way?
Okay,
then you understand that when you write it down and you say this is the beginning of the dream, it isn't, because it was an abiding story. It was just where you interrupted it. It's not a beginning.
You know what, it's kind of reminding me of standing on the red magazine so that I can look over at the blue and the yellow magazine.
That's right.
Yeah.
And when you ended, you just say, well, that's enough of that, and opted out of the story, but the story went on, so that wasn't an ending.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Are you willing to say then, in the same way, then, that birth of your life is a becoming, not a beginning, and death is not a finale to your life?
Yes.
And are you willing to say that everything that happened in between doesn't matter?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
And if it doesn't matter, have we gotten rid of karma and judgments and crap shit that's been going on for 10,000 words, years?
Yeah.
Well, if that's true in your life, it has to be true in the dream.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we're taking these as equivalents, one means the other and the other means the one, then I have to then demonstrate to you that the beginning and the ending of a dream or dream sequence or another dream a week later and another dream a week later, that only the beginnings, which are not beginnings, they're insipids. And only the endings, which are not an ending, they're only a finale,
mm-hmm.
matter, and nothing in between matters.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. Huh?
I am following you.
Okay. Last week we discussed one of Patrick's dreams. You still there, Pat?
I sure am.
And his beginning line, we'll say beginning line, that's his incipit, I was transferred to a location that I was familiar with. That's his incipit. No, where am I? I'm reading the wrong one, excuse me. Last week we started with, I took a cat for a walk. That was the incipit. And it ended with the finale. As I tried to get started on that presentation, the people in the room started forming smaller conversation groups all over the place, and no one was paying attention to me. Someone I knew in the caucus shrugged his shoulders and said something like, well, nice try, and walked away. When we discussed this with Patrick, without using the symbol of cat as female or anything else, we came to a conclusion then, let's say, that the cat represented, or possibly, because that was going on 11 years ago, a Cobble Hill Foundation. I took that out for a walk. I thought about that, I considered that. A Cobble Hill Foundation. Remember that, Patrick?
Sure do.
And in the finale of this dream, it seemed like nobody paid an attention to you and you were being judged. Something like, well, nice try. Is that okay?
Yeah, that seemed to have occurred, yeah.
Okay. How about a dream from August? I was transported to a location that I was unfamiliar with, was the incipit. And the ending, or the finale, was a woman abruptly and rudely told me to get away. That I wasn't one of them. She looked reproachfully at my guide for having brought you there. Judgment again. Beginning of doing something that you are unfamiliar with, and it ends with a judgment of you as a consequence of that. Same incipit, same finale, dreams are 2 months apart. Is that okay?
Yep.
I have a letter from you from even before that, in which you talked about something you were doing. We won't bring it up, so we're just doing something that you were kind of, sort of, unfamiliar with. And the whole letter of that sequence ended up in a judgment as a result of your doing that. If we then say everything that we've said before, is it possible for us to say, well, I think there's an ongoing pattern here, that in doing things that you are not completely familiar with, you turn off because of resultant or possible judgments, and you turn away from that? Is it possible then that that scenario is an ongoing story of your dreams? Well, if it is, and your other letter to me earlier than that said the same thing about an event in your life, can we say then that that's the ongoing, abiding gist of your life?
I think, while you've been talking, I've been quickly going on my computer here to check JAST again, because that's still sticking with me, and I'd like to get it out of my system here for a moment. I can't find anything other than just JAST is a joke. You make jest of something.
Well, and wait a minute. I think I spelt it for you as G-E-S-T-E, not J-E-S-T.
G.
G as in George.
I'm sorry, I missed that.
And it's normally spelled George, easy, sugar, I can't remember, T. And then easy, and then it ends in T, but an alternative spelling is with the E. I put the E on the end of it.
Okay, good. That took it off the table for me. That's great.
Okay. So, is it possible then that we can say that in looking at the incipit, where you introduce yourself or started the story, and where you opted out of the dream story, is constant or consistent?
Yep, very much so.
That you want to do, or if you do, familiar things, etc. That's okay until the judgment occurs, or you think you're being judged, or somebody does something of that nature, and then you want out of this shit.
And that's why I prefer to stick to things that I'm quite familiar with.
And unfortunately, wait just a minute now. Are you okay with that? Let me make an insert here. If you started with a loner body with a functioning GNA or sequence of genes and events, are you likely to change yourself in that sequence of loner body or do what you are quite familiar with?
Well, I'm likely to continue with what I'm most familiar with.
So you would continue with that particular body. Now, if you can understand that, then the universe is satisfied. The universe says, hey, I gave you a functioning body. You got a functioning body, and it works for you. Keep doing that. That's okay. It only becomes a loner body when you're willing to say, wait a minute, this functioning is okay, but I don't want this functioning. I want it to function and my life to function the way I want it to function. And so I'm going to change the very nature of this body and the nature of the self and the nature of the beliefs that I began with. I'm not going to take the familiar easy road. Do you understand that?
I do, absolutely.
And do you understand that to make that decision and start down that pathway, the road less traveled in that regard, or the function less sequenced, or something unfamiliar, is a real struggle? You have to overcome your own tendencies, your own beliefs, your own self, your own everything about you to go down that pathway that it is not easy to start down that pathway, and judgments along the way, well, you're likely to opt out. Is that okay?
That's not unfamiliar to me.
Okay. But if you keep on going down that pathway less traveled, the road less traveled, you find out that then when you are living the body, self, and life that is really you, it really starts humming.
Yeah.
And a broader, greater, more expansive, other things come to you naturally and easily. But no matter what you do with your loner body, and you say, well, because it's familiar, yeah, it's familiar, but it never gets easy. Is that okay?
Yeah, because I think it never gets easy.
Why?
To me, that means that I can end up feeling constrained by the things that seem so easy or come naturally.
But that's right. But they're not easy in the long run, are they?
Oh no, they end up being very, very limiting.
But when we talk about the struggle in the beginning, which then, as it go along, become easy, why might that be?
Well, it seems to me then that I will be generating a whole new self with these new...
What's the self? What's the self?
The self is the environment that I create, that I live within.
The self is naturally you. That is your abiding gist. It was uneasy all along because the body, the self, and the environment wasn't really you. Or as Sally would say, you were living as a stranger in a strange body.
I keep on forgetting that part, that the easy come natural type of thing is that I'm talking about is what I gained from my loner body. I keep on forgetting. That's my start point.
But the point is, do you remember I used to the illustration, oh boy, if I could just paint like Michelangelo, what a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And then as soon as you can paint like Michelangelo, all of that superlative is gone simply because you're living what is naturally you.
Yeah, that's just what I do.
Well, that's just the way I am. No big deal there. So you have to, living your loner self and beliefs, looking for a superior. When you're living yourself so naturally, then it isn't a great extraordinary, it's an extraordinary ordinary.
Yeah.
And is it possible then that you think that that would not be exciting? So you excite yourself, or some people have the drama queens, or other people are angry guys, or whatever. We do anything to create an extraordinary or whatever sensation to make our life extraordinary, rather than looking at the truth of ourself and the extraordinary of that.
Well, there is something about everything being so easy. That's just me, ordinary.
But wait a minute. What I said to you is this. I said, until you experience living by not discontenting yourself, you don't know what joy, peace, and happiness is.
Yes, you have said that. Yep.
Well, I'll repeat it again right here. So we could say that Michelangelo, he was pissed at the Pope. God damn it, I've been doing this for 5 years. To create an excitement in his life rather than living himself that is truly Michelangelo. And you remember that Michelangelo didn't want to be a painter. He wanted to be a sculptor. He didn't want to paint the Sistine Chapel.
But that damn Pope made him.
And so when he was painting the chapel in that regard, he was living his loner self. Are we understanding in the... Oh, no, wait a minute. I don't know that. Is this okay?
I'm following, yes.
Oh, that's right. You're following. Okay. Well, is it possible then that if you were living yourself so naturally and so self-evidently so... that it would be a joy and a pleasure?
Yeah, I can actually see that.
Well, here's what we know, or what Buddha taught. What Buddha said is, look, you know the joy and the happiness and the greatness and the wondrous of life is transient. It's nothing. It's emptiness. And that if you're happy today, it ain't gonna last. Are we okay with that? Oh, we're gonna go back. We gotta go back to Karen here. Karen, is they okay with that?
Sure. I understand that, no, that sucks, but anyway, I understand that that's what.
Now, what if we could get Patrick? Instead of living the same body and self and environment, and trying to be happy this moment and or be excited in this other moment, whether anger, pleasure, or whatever, what if we could say you could get Patrick to live himself so self-evidently so that the pleasure and the joy of that would be natural in living self-evidently so. Would that be all right?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Now, if you understand... What?
Nothing. Carry on.
If you understood what I said, my question is this. If Patrick understood that process and understood the joy of it being so self-evidently him and so joyful and exciting in all of that, instead of the joy and excitement fading, what if he could maintain the joy and excitement merely by changing himself? In other words, if he's living self-evidently so. Now, if he holds himself, the joy, the passion, the pleasure begins to fade. If we then say, well, wait a minute, if you're living self-evidently this self, and you have that joy, is it possible that you can live another self self-evidently so and maintain the joy?
So are those selves actually going to be different?
Yes.
He's going to have a bunch of different selves going on.
Why not? See, what you're trying to do, what he's, I'm just asking you if this would be okay. We try to live the same self and change the pleasure. Well, I'm saying, what if we maintain the pleasure and change the self?
Oh, okay.
Well, hell, if you're... What?
An interesting concept.
What? That's the nature of the universe. But we're so busy trying to hold on to the same self and at the same time hold on to the pleasures of that self, but they fade away and we're left with this damn self. That maybe what we should do is to hold the pleasures merely by changing the self and living that new, a different other self, self-evidently so, so the pleasures remain.
So, Roger, can you talk about the connection with the changing self, with the concept of personal self turning on and turning off?
I'm making the connection right now at this point with, if you were born with a loner self and you can change that loner self, couldn't you change that loner self anytime during the life that you wanted to?
So, personal self, I'm just trying to get the difference here, or what one is superimposed on the other. What, personal self, loner self? So who's doing the quote-unquote changing?
What you're doing, Sally, is you're doing that everybody has said back to me, well, I got a personal self, an eternal self, and a loner self, and a resplendent self, and a this self, and a that self. What the hell is going on? And I tried to give you an overall picture.
Okay, and I'm working on the picture right now.
All right. Did you get the handout I sent you?
Probably not.
Well, get it from Andrew.
Okay.
What I sent you is called The Essentials.
Okay.
And that's Forever Living number one.
Okay.
There are 20 items on there which we are going to discuss each week.
Okay.
And those 20 items create, I was trying to create originally a picture from beginning to sort of an ending. I said, nobody got that. So I'll reverse it and say, here is an ending of a universal self. How the hell did we get here? And those 20 steps outline an answer, who, what, and why of this whole process.
Okay, so sorry about that. I apologize. I didn't know.
No, I'm not certain that anybody who is any has read it realized the importance of this essential of who are you that I sent out. And I'm planning either, we've only used up an hour, we may start on this tonight or at least maybe wait till next week or whatever. But there's 20 items here. I could talk for 2 to 4 hours on either one, any one of these things, and we want to then take them in this order so that you can begin to see all of this in an orderly pattern.
Okay, thank you.
And in such a way that if we interrupted this pattern at, say, number 8, that number 8 would then be the incipit at that point. So each one of these things is in themselves an incipit and a finale. And this portrays an ongoing, just these, the way it's stated, portrays an ongoing or abiding story or abiding gist of your life. And that you then interrupt the story of your dreams and interrupt the abiding gist of your life to make something of notable or noteworthy of yourself or of your dreams. And there are several places in here where it says, and dreams do this and then dreams do that. We started if you are only interested in your loner self and life today, then dreams will tell you about your loner self and life today.
Okay.
If you are then interested about, well, you know, I want to know more about my eternal self, then dreams will tell you about that. Depends on what context you want to see and know and understand your dream.
Okay.
And if you want to then say, well, eternal is okay, but I'd like to know, hear more about this universal being stuff and know more about that, then if you're living or dealing with that aspect of yourself, your dreams will tell you that. We okay?
Okay. So that's personal self, if you will, turning on, turning off in different parts of the dream by just saying, I want to know about my eternal self.
Or about his life today. We could say that Pat turns on his dreams at when getting into an unfamiliar situation, and he opts out of that because he's concerned or fearful of criticism.
Okay.
And okay. Patrick, I want to ask you one question. Is that portrayed in the samurai story?
Oh, absolutely.
And is that portrayed in your last life as a pilot?
Absolutely. Shot down again.
You see? So we can go through all... Wait, what?
I got a question.
All right.
Is the ongoing abiding jest universal.
If we take the expressions of, like, your incipient and finality of dreams, or the beginnings and endings, which are not beginnings and endings, you understand that. But you take the beginnings and endings of pilot, beginnings and endings of samurai, and we compare all of the incipits of those stories and all the finales of those stories, there is a commonality in the beginnings and a commonality of the finale, and that portrays you as a universal being. As a universal being.
That didn't answer my question. My question was, is the abiding jest universal for all people?
I just explained how you can then determine the particular expression of your universal being, then it must be universal. Oh, wait a minute. Wait just a minute now. You do understand, maybe I didn't make this clear, that universal is nothing.
Of course it is.
Until it's expressed as something.
Hang on a sec. Only by me particularizing the nothing does it become something.
That's right.
So the universe just must be universal.
That's right. It's universal in that regard. And you interrupt it by your life, your story, your problems, your difficulties, your doings. You keep interrupting that to create the particular of that universal that you desire.
Or, I've been satisfied with what from my loner start.
Or you can be satisfied with that, and at the next life you get a new beginning. You'll be living the same thing over again, but it'll all seem different.
And so that there is no ongoing story.
Well, it is why I call it a jest, because like I tried to express to Karen, there is an ongoing story, like your DNA is an ongoing story. It's there, but it isn't anything until you make it something.
And that's the essential ingredient of a human existence.
Absolutely.
Gotcha.
And the question then is, are you willing to, on the one hand, go from living a particular story that's not you, or trying to live a continuing story and get it right, or are you willing to live a different you, the same story as a different you? Let me ask you this one question. Would you be willing to live the same story that is you as a different you all the time?
I'm not sure what the same story is. The same, the beginning something unfamiliar and backing out when criticism arrives? Is that the same story?
That's the way you have interpreted the story. But I'm saying then if we look at that over a dozen dreams, etc., a different picture than that. That is the judgment of yourself, because you're judging yourself from the judgment of language today.
So how does that shift to the same story in a different me?
What if what is most important to you is to live an extraordinary you without backing out?
Well, that's a different story then.
No, it's the same story.
Can you explain how that is the same story? That seems like this essentially different rewrite in there.
No. I'm only looking at it from beginning to end, and I'm not talking about the in between. You're focused on the in between.
Well, the ending is backing up.
Okay.
And so it's not the in between that we're rewriting. It's an essential ingredient in the story.
Is it?
It would appear that if the story is try something.
No, don't try to back. Wait. Stop a minute.
I'm just trying to understand.
No. Wait just a minute. I'm trying to stop you. Without saying you're wrong, because Karen doesn't like that. So let me... So listen to this. What if, instead of saying stopping, you were to say, do it from a different person? Haven't you stopped that and backed out and done it from a different person?
Yes, but please hear me here.
So I could have the same beginnings and endings, but it would all be a different story.
But haven't I created a new story?
What? No, what you've tried to do is create the same old you and change the story. I'm trying to change you and maintain the abiding story. The abiding story is... What you really want is you want to do, let's call it this, something in life that is so, maybe that's why you're involved in Forever Living. You want to do something that is so unfamiliar to anybody. Is that not true?
Oh, that's absolutely true.
That you would like to do something extraordinary. Is that okay?
Yeah, okay.
All right, now wait just a minute. Isn't that what the samurai wanted to do?
Absolutely.
Isn't that what the pilot wanted to do?
Very much so.
In that judge in Rome, didn't he want to do the same thing?
Yep, he wanted to stand apart from everybody and do it in a very, very different way.
Aha! So that is then the abiding story of your life. Don't change the story in terms of doing, not doing, change the self in the way in which you do that. Samurai, Rome, Pilate, and Patrick. Different individuals doing the same story. Let me ask you a question. Have you really backed out on that?
No, I haven't.
Aha! You see, you still even want to do that, haven't you?
Yeah.
Are you then, can we say then, what you're seeking is the self to do that?
That seems to be so.
Well then, let me ask you another question. Do you see a connection between that and an emprise? Where an emprise is a continuing or abiding story that you get into as Patrick and out of as Samurai, but it's still the emprise is the ongoing continuing story or jest of you that you tap into as Samurai, Judge, Pilot, and Pat.
Wow, I'm glad we're having this conversation because you're answering my question that I have not asked.
And do you then not see that in that you see a commonality in all of that, which is, by the way, the story, and you could then say to yourself, well, these are my past lives. Well, they're not your past lives. That was a different you. That wasn't you. That was a different being entirely. Only the jest is an abiding story, which in your life today is, or might be referred to as, an emprise.
Son of a gun.
And is it possible that the emprise for you is to discover and live or teach or preach or however you want to do that, something that is so extraordinary that it is completely unfamiliar to the rest of the world, that would change the world's whole idea of itself? Of course, you don't want that.
Not at all. Son of a gun. That pattern is there.
Of course it is. And so then the issue is, don't change the pattern. You can't run away from that pattern. You can go from China, from Japan and samurai to Rome, Italian. You can change your language. You can change everything and be pilot or run to Canada, way out in the sticks out there. You can't get away from it.
It's there.
Yeah.
I just want to clarify one term now. You just said you can't change that pattern, but am I following this?
Wait, stop. Yep. Now you see the problem of using story or pattern. You can't change the jest.
Thank you. That's what I wanted to clarify, because it makes more sense. I hear it with jest now.
That's because I am forcing you into, you abide with my use of the term jest. If I use pattern, if I use story, you got all the crap about that in your mind, and I can't get that out of your mind.
Okay. All
but right. you must use jest only as I defined it, not as you may find it in the dictionary.
Okay.
It is a notable action or deed or story or achievement. And notable doesn't mean great and wonderful, like we would say here, for instance, Patrick himself might want to do something that is, wow, look at that, it's great and wonderful and all of that.
Right.
But as a universal being, he wants to do something notable, something that is worth noting.
Okay.
And worth noting does not necessarily mean then that it is great. It could be crappy.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Well, sure. Isn't crappy notable?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we're talking only about the story, and that's what he wants to be. Good or bad.
Okay.
Excellent or piss off. He doesn't care. As long as it's notable.
Walter White.
And people will take note of me. Right, Patrick?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have a question, but I don't know if you don't want to cover that right now. I'm curious then, if I have this jest, I think I got that. What then is the part of his dream where someone judges and he checks out?
He created it.
What?
Anywhere in the dream.
Is that part of the jest, or is that something else?
Did I not say to you that no matter where you begin the story, that is the incipit?
Yes.
Then anywhere you end the story, that is the finale. And it will always follow that pattern. Everything in between doesn't matter, because it starts with wanting to do something, but it is unfamiliar, and no matter where it is, however, in any moment of his life, at the end of that moment, it is a criticism or the presumption of criticism, so he backs out. But then my question is, could you see backing out as Patrick and starting over again as Sally or Susan?
Oh, Oh, I see what you're saying now.
Could
okay.
you then change yourself in the next moment? Don't change the event, change yourself.
I see. So the indication of judgment would be that he's not living the self that he wants at that moment.
Thank you.
He doesn't want a new self.
Thank you. You understand that, Patrick?
Yes.
And it is, it falls into that pattern only because of wanting to and starting and then backing out, only because you're living a loner self per se. You're trying to find the true self that you're, that is you, that would not back out. But it's the same story. You're living your loner self all over again each time, whereas if you then changed yourself, rather than the action, if you change yourself, the action in that regard, let's say, would be fulfilled.
And as Andrew said, if I'm living and experiencing judgment, I slip back into loner self.
Right. And you know that anytime you are. And allow me this, anytime you feel, because it's how you feel about an event, that how you feel being judged, you know then right on, right there, in the dream or in your life, that you are living the loner self that isn't really you.
Gosh, that's really clear right now.
And the problem with that is that from the very beginning, you took the easy path thinking, well, this easy path must really be me. No, that easy path was a functioning loner self that was not you. And for a short period of time, in your life at nearly the beginning of that life, you have to overcome the tendencies to live, let's call it, the easy life or the to go along to get along life, or to live what your parents say is right. You have to struggle against that for a period of time to give you time to rebuild the self, the loner self and body and environment to being the self and environment that is truly you. Then everything changes.
Yeah.
What Buddha did was say it's all crap anyway, so quit doing any of these things. And Jesus came along and said, oh, well, you know, you got to live this spiritual stuff. Well, what the hell is that? What I'm trying to get you to understand is I'm not going to either one of those either ors. I'm saying to live as a universal being, which is greater, by the way, than a spiritual being, because we can talk about its particularity and we can't do that about a spiritual being. Yourself as a universal being in a particular way, so that you're living the communion of a personal being and a universal being. If that's true, could you see where this goes to the point is that you have communioned the personal and universal in such a way that it is not becoming one with God, it's becoming one with yourself. Hello, anybody out there in the black box?
Yeah, the black box speaks back. Wow, yes.
Do you understand that?
Sure hope so.
And if you were in that position of a universal being living as a particular, could you not change the particular anytime, anywhere, all the time, everywhere? Do you not presume that that would be possible?
Well, it absolutely possible, because that's no longer what's defining it.
So then, what you're doing is particularizing the universal, or particularizing just in infinite ways. Instead of living infinitely different lives and ways and doing, are you willing to live infinitely the same story, but a different you?
Yep.
Huh?
Yes.
Okay, now
absolutely.
I got to ask you an old question. Would you rather have an intimate relationship, or be the reason you have an intimate relationship?
Well, I want to be the reason.
Okay. Is there any difference between that question and my asking you, would you be willing to live the same story from an entirely different you?
Yeah, I can see the parallel. That no matter the you that I'm living, I'm the reason.
You're the reason, because you're always intimate.
Yep.
So
I have a question.
So,
I phrase it. So, living, I'll say, a different you, when Patrick then says, oh, I want to live eternal self me or whatever, when he turns on the personal self...
Whoa, wait, stop a minute. Let me interrupt you.
Okay.
All of this is about the term emergent, not cause and effect. And you took the first question into cause and effect. And when you do that, you cannot cause yourself as a personal being. And you cannot cause intimacy. And you cannot cause your abiding story. And you cannot do any of those things causally.
Okay, so I'm trying to language that you said. In the dream, Patrick, his turn on and turn off, the insipid, the finale, could still be the same insipid, same finale, but somehow changing himself changes that, even though it's the same insipid finale. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. Because a different self creates then the same story differently. Which to a different person appears to be a different story.
Okay, so it could be the same exact words, exact everything, but what's different is
you.
Would he then, the difference is you, so is it you then? You were talking before that he had judgment about it.
Because he's trying to maintain the same you and do a better story, or do it in a grander way. Why not leave the story alone in this case and change himself?
So then he would not have judgment.
Well, what we're saying is this, is what I'm trying to say is then when you know, when you're judging in that regard, you know you've fallen away from the self and you're living the loner self again.
Oh, I see.
And even before you get to judgments, you know that by any nature of discontent.
I see. Okay.
So you can change, but listen very carefully. When you have the discontent, don't change the discontent. Don't change what you're doing. Change who you are. Now that has got to be the first time you've ever heard that. But if you change your doing, you're maintaining the same self, and you would get, nothing would occur in that regard. Change the self and everything changes.
Okay.
We okay with this so far?
Yeah, that clarified. I got a better image.
Well, that's good. And you really, really got to get your head out of causing and affecting or everything that you've essentially ever been taught.
Yeah.
We okay with that?
Yeah.
Next week we're going to do the essentials handout. Item number one that we're going to start with, the question at the top of the essentials is, says, who are you? And number one says you are an abiding, all-inclusive, universal being. What the hell does that mean to you? Think about it for the week, so that next week when we start out and I say, because you see, I'm working at the other end of this picture now. I'm saying this from the other end of everything is who you are. Then we're going to say, well, how the hell did we get here? Because up to now, we're saying this is where you are, and you're trying to go somewhere. Well, we've stumbled along and talked about this, and we've talked about that. And you would say, well, I understood very little of that, Raj. Okay, but at least I dragged your ass up here to listen. You are a universal being. And if I can't tell you, or you can't know or understand that, hey, I went to a party Saturday. Love my parties. Got into a big argument with a couple of chiropractors. And so I asked him a question. I said, now, if you do your little thing and you fix a patient and the patient goes off happy, have you done them a service? Because she said service was her purpose in life. Have you done them a service or a disservice? Man, he got in my face and says, well, we don't do that. And I sort of pushed him back and said, I didn't say you did that. I merely asked you a question. If you do this, well, we don't do that. So says I, well, okay, then what do you do? He says, well, we align the spine so that the great I am can express through you. What? What is the great I am? Oh, it's too big, too tremendous, too miraculous for words. It can't be described. Well, then how do you know what you're doing? And this is where we've come with spirit and spirituality and God and etc. Oh, it's the great I am. God works through you. Change the words, you're still saying the same damn thing. And what I'm trying to say to you is, are you willing to work your universal being? Oh, this is where we're going. We're turning everything around. And in that, then, your understanding, I think, Patrick, that allow me to say this, that you as a universal being or nothing until you particularize that into a something, if I see what you have particularized, I know the eternal is the universal being. Is that okay?
That's just fine.
Well then, if that's the case, then, and that is by the case, then we can talk about your universal being. You see? And instead of then saying that's good, bad, right, or wrong, that's not an issue. What is an issue is that the self of you, the personal being you, the way you want to express yourself as a universal being? And if not, then change the self, not what you are doing. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay only means, do you understand that?
Yes, I understand that.
So we're going to start with number one next week. Everybody, you can think about it, get your questions, and jab me with your questions and whatever. That's what we're going to do. And now we're going to spend maybe the next 20 weeks as far now. Maybe we won't ever get past and discussing a universal being. I might ask you, do you want to be a universal being? Well, wait a minute. Allow me this. Could I ask you what abiding just story would you as a universal being want to live? Can we not then come out and say that if you're living a universe abiding jest, that maybe the universal being of yourself has created this abiding jest for you to live, for you to particularize, for you to make something of? What abiding story or jest would you like to live? Supposing we go around the black box and ask that question. Well, that's close enough. We'll leave it there for now. Good night for tonight.